you have blessed us. Thank you for coming here today. Your message, certainly the music, the encouragement, trust our Lord, reminding us to put our confidence in Him. And more than anything else, as we come to this morning, it's for us to grow in our walk with the Lord and for you to be able to trust Him. Certainly in terms of what we see taking place in our world, whether it's COVID, the political situation in our nation, or your own personal trials or difficulties that you're going through here. For the very same God that Kevin has sung about and shared about, it's the very same God who's here, the very same God that he's been able to trust and learn to trust, is the very same God who's here for you to put your trust and your confidence in him. You think about what he tells us, it's probably a very familiar passage to you, probably a very familiar verse, you may even have it memorized, Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity. You think about the reasons in that verse as to why you too can trust the Lord. As we look at that verse, the first thing we see, the first thing we encounter, and the first thing we need to look at is the person of God.
Everything on that verse hinges on I, that is God speaking about himself. You know, we often talk about the promises of God and memorizing the promises of God and repeating the promises of God, and we need to do that. But even more than we need to concentrate on the promises of God, we need to focus on the God of the promise. That is the one who's actually made it. And you think about this great God who is making this promise to us, this same God who desires for us to put our hope and our trust and our confidence in him. You think about how he revealed himself to Moses when Moses asked for God to reveal his glory. And you remember in Exodus chapter 34, verses 5 through 7, the Lord descended in a cloud and stood there with him as he called upon the name of the Lord. Then the Lord passed by in front of him and proclaimed, and think about how God revealed himself here. And you think about this God that we're before, the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness and truth, who keeps loving kindness for thousands, who forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin, and yet will by no means leave the guilty unpunished, visiting the iniquity of fathers on the children and the grandchildren of the third and fourth generations. You think of this God that we're before. How can you not trust such a perfect being? One who's perfect in his mercy, one who's perfect in his love, one who's perfect in his grace. And not only is he perfect in those things, but you think about the power that he holds. You think over in Jeremiah 33:3, one of my favorite verses. Another favorite promise, you probably have it memorized. Call to me, and I will answer you and tell you great and mighty things which you do not know. But again, who is the God who is making that promise? Well, go to the verse above it, Jeremiah 33:2. Thus says the Lord, who made the earth, the Lord who formed it to establish it, the Lord is his name. You think about this God, perfect in mercy and love and grace and unlimited in his power. How can we not trust him? Whether it's the events of our world, whether it's the events of our nation, or even the events in your own life. You think of this great God that we're before. We see the person of God, but notice as well, we also see the personal love of God. That is the fact that this great God has a personal love for us. Again, you think about that verse in Jeremiah 29:11. For I, that great God, know the plans I have for you. And you think about what that means, I, you. You know what that represents? A relationship. This great God desires a personal relationship with us. That's why he created us to begin with. That's why he recreates us through salvation and regeneration. And you think about the tremendous, unlimited love that he has for us. A love that the Bible tells us, in fact, began in eternity past. Didn't just begin when you and I arrived on the scene. It began, in fact, in eternity past. You think of what we see in Jeremiah 31:3. The Lord appeared to him from afar, saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have drawn you with loving kindness. And you think about how that love was proven and what God did to bring us unto himself, that ultimate demonstration of his love. when he sent his only begotten son to die upon the cross for us in Romans 5:8, God demonstrates his love for us and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And the whole purpose of that was to bring us into his love. The purpose of salvation was not simply to save us from hell, as wonderful as that is. That's what God had to do in order to do what God wanted to do, and what he wanted to do was to bring us back into a relationship with himself. You think of what we read over in 1 John chapter 3 and in verse 1. See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us, that we would be called children of God, and such we are. For this reason the world does not know us because it did not know him. Why can you trust God? Because this great, unlimited, perfect God has a love for you that is personal, eternal, and immeasurable. How can you not love such a God? And then we also see, as we continue looking at Jeremiah 29:11, this is what we normally think about, the plans of God. And look at the plans there, for well-being and not for calamity. Plans that are in fact good. You think of what we see when you read on down verses 12 through 14, then you will call upon me and come and pray to me and I will listen to you. This was a message that God gave to the exiles who had been carried away from Judah into Babylonian captivity. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart, and I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will restore your fortunes and will gather you from all the nations, from all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back to the place where I have sent you into exile. God's good plan for you. And I realize where you are right now, you may be facing some circumstance, situation, there's no way that anything can come out of this that'll be good. And you may have gone through a painful situation. I'm not trying to minimize that. And you think there's nothing good in this. We need to understand that because God is perfect, his plans are on the eternal scale. We look at the right here and now. But you think about good as defined by a perfect, eternal God. Do you remember back several months ago when we first had to begin doing our services virtually because we couldn't meet? We went through the life of Abraham. Do you remember all those years that Abraham had to wait for the birth of Isaac? Why? Well, we always say, well, because God was growing his faith and deepening his faith, and that's absolutely true. But also, when you study the scriptures very carefully, you find out that what? Isaac is a type, that is a picture, an illustration, a scale model of the coming Christ. You think about it. Old couple, 190, impossible for them to have a child, yet God gave them a child. Why? A small picture of an even greater miracle of God sending his only begotten son through the virgin birth. You think about that. Abraham's wait, all those years. Yes, God had a wonderful plan for Abraham, but it went far beyond anything Abraham could have comprehended at the time. Believer, understand the good that God is doing in your life, it goes far beyond you. It has an eternal component in it. And we might not understand it for days, weeks, months, and we might not understand it until we're there with him, but it is written by a God who is perfect. It is good from his scale. You think about the life of Joseph, we're all very familiar. You think about all that Joseph went through. Why? Well, when his brothers came before him and he was able to keep them alive, what was it that Joseph was able to say? You intended it for harm, but God meant it for good. The good that God does in our life many times becomes a ministry to others. So I heard one Bible teacher say at one time, and I'm trying to remember the exact quote, the gold that God refines in our trials is often deposited in the lives of others. The good, many times, that God works out of our situation is actually used to minister to others. It has a far longer and deeper reach than what we can ever imagine. God's plans are good, and we can put our complete trust and confidence in him. And then lastly, there is the perfection of those plans. Again, God is making a wonderful promise. Think back of what we read on the verse before verse 11, that of course being verse 10. For thus says the Lord, when 70 years have been completed for Babylon, I will visit you and fulfill my good word to you to bring you back to this place. You keep reading the scriptures, what happened? God did allow the exiles to return, setting the stage after those 400 years for the return of Christ. But here's the point that I want you to see there. God made the promise and God fulfilled it. When God makes a promise, you can take it to the bank. Isn't that what Joshua told the nation of Israel near the end of his life? As he looked back on the way that God had led them and provided for them in Joshua 21:45, as Joshua was speaking to the nation of Israel, not one of the good promises which the Lord made to the house of Israel failed. All came to pass. You think about what Solomon was able to say centuries after that as he too looked at how God had worked for the nation of Israel. In 1 Kings 8, verse 56, blessed be the Lord who's given rest to his people Israel according to all that he promised. Not one word has failed of all of his good promise which he promised through Moses, his servant. The perfect fulfillment of his plan. If God has promised it, you can take it to the bank. And when we look at this world, if we look at our nation, when we look at your life, you can put our complete faith and trust and confidence in God. The question this morning is not whether or not God is worthy of our trust. The question this morning is whether you will trust Him. First of all, obviously, in salvation, that Jesus Christ died and rose again for your sins. Beyond that, believer, for your life, for your present circumstances. We have a God who is trustworthy. The question is, will you trust Him? Jonathan and I will be around after the service. You don't want someone to talk to or pray with. But I'd like for us just to have a moment for each of us to meet with the Lord, because I know every one of us is in a different situation, circumstance in our life, different needs. But I want you to think about this God who is trustworthy. Kevin has shared. He's sung about Him. We've looked in His Word to see what He's telling us directly. Wherever it is that you are this morning, let's put our faith and trust and confidence in Him. Let's have a moment of prayer, then I'll lead us in prayer.